Welcome everybody back to Friar Talk. Today it's going to be Isaac and I. I think Chase is going to be hopping in a little bit later here, but we're going to be doing a little like state of the Padres farm system right now after international signings. The big name, of course, is Ethan Salas, so we're going to talk about him a lot at first, and just kind of talk about where the Padres farm system is at after last year. Obviously, the deadline moves, not only Juan Soto but also getting Drury Bell, right? Like, those deals really depleted the farm. So it's interesting because I think a lot of people look at the Padres farm and think there's absolutely nothing in it, which actually isn't really the case. It's just not very deep, and there's not a lot of guys that are going to be able to contribute anytime soon. But we want to go over it, kind of look at like the rankings that MLB.com has currently, and also talk about Ethan Salas. But with that said, let's get into Ethan Salas because I think that he's the most kind of exciting piece right now in the Padres farm. Obviously, the number one international prospect. He comes in, and he is going to immediately be a top three prospect in the Padres' whole farm system at 16 years old. Really, really ridiculous stuff. His grades right now are 60 hit grade, 50 power grade, 50 run grade, 60 arm grade, 55 fielding grade, and he's a 55 overall prospect. He's a lefty, he throws right-handed, and he is a really, really, or he projects to be a really, really good defensive catcher. And also, there was a couple like quotes from Padres like scouts and executives just saying like his swing is just so smooth, and he has the potential to hit for power, hit for contact, and almost be a five-tool player from like the catcher position. So he's getting a lot of hype. And as we know, like the last few years, the catching position has been pretty weak in the MLB. However, there's a lot of young prospects coming up. All of a sudden, like, you have a lot of prospects ranked higher. Adley Rutschman, of course, he's a guy who just came in for the Orioles. He's ridiculous. But you're starting to see a little bit, higher level prospects coming for catchers, and Salas is the next guy right there. So Isaac, what do you feel about the addition in him?
It's great. I mean, the Padres clearly have a lot of confidence in him and invest almost $6 million in just him alone. He was the number one international prospect before signing with the Padres. Probably projects to be one of those next, like, the catching phenoms that people kind of talk about when they're coming up. I don't think Luis Camposano was one of those, but obviously, he comes from a lineage of a baseball family. He has a few, I think one of his brothers in the Marlins system, or I forgot what season right now, but comes from a baseball family. Sounded really, really, I was quite impressed. I think everyone was really impressed with how he handled his conversations with the media. He sounded very mature for his age. I think he got a lot of praise for that, which was it was warranted because he did sound very good in his discussions with the media and his long-term plan as a Padre, how he's excited to be a Padre, who, like you said, who doesn't want to be a Padre right now. But obviously we've kind of known he was probably going to end up being a Padre for a little while now. Just now it's official. The Padres had enough stuff of him in a Padres and like Padres attire to make like a 2-minute little film on him. So I think we've known he was going to be a Padre. It's just a matter of, waiting to get ink on paper, but very exciting prospect. He's probably going to be a top 10 prospect come 3-4 years, I think, and maybe all of baseball. He's huge. I don't know how tall he is, but he's definitely going to be a very impressive, hopefully he's a very impressive catcher. I mean, prospects are, as we all know, prospects are hit or miss. But with the current state of the farm, Ethan Salas probably will shoot up to top. Personally, just based off talent alone, he's probably already a top three, top four prospect in our farm system. But because of age, you're going to go through the MLB.com and everything like that. He's probably not going to be up there. He's probably going to be like 10, something like that. But as he ages, you're going to see him shoot up to 2, 3, 1, whatever he's going to shoot up to. He has massive. When you're getting money like that as your first contract, you're going to have a lot of massive expectations. But I think in terms of how it sounds like he's going to handle the pressure, I think he's pretty adamant that, he's going to work hard and be the catcher that we kind of expect him to be. But that's a really good thing, too, because like Matt said, the state of the catcher position is not very good. I think for us, especially because Austin Nola is not, I don't think he's going to be here another few years. Luis Camposano, I don't know how much confidence the Padres have in Luis Camposano. Either they kept him because nobody wanted him, or they kept him wanted to keep him. I really don't know which one it is, but going based off the history of the Padres league, you know, just selling all the prospects in order to build a World Series caliber team. I'm sure they've offered Luis Camposano a few times. But hopefully this guy ends up being a cornerstone. I mean, catcher's one of those positions. It's like, what's a position in sports that you kind of always have to worry about? I don't know, but catcher's one of those positions that you don't really want to worry about. Kind of like those Yadier Molinas, Jorge Posadas, Pudge, like those guys are stuck around for so long and they never had to worry about the catcher position. Hopefully Salas ends up being that.
Yeah, you were talking about his size. He's listed at 6'2", a buck 85, so pretty insane. I have a couple clips here for you guys. Let me show you one. But dude, he's really hyped up. Here we go. Little highlight reel here from Rafael Munoz. Can you guys see it? Yeah. I mean, he's pretty clean. Obviously, he's 16, so it's like, I think it's funny because we're talking about this dude, and like, if you see pictures of him, he looks like so young. I mean, he's huge. He's 6'2", a buck 85 as a 16-year-old, but like, he's like a kid. And you were talking about it too, Isaac, just that like, you know, it's one of those things, like a lot of times you don't really know what's going to happen with prospects, but in terms of talent, in terms of where he's at, like as a 16-year-old, it's kind of ridiculous. He's 55 grade. So right now, the only prospects that are like that are Lesko and Merrill in the Padres farm system. So he's going to be an immediate huge, huge boost right there. But yeah, people are talking about that he's going to, you know, he's going to be the guy that they want to take over when Nola's contract's up. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Kind of see what Campy has. Hopefully we get to see a little bit more of Campy this year. But Isaac, what about other guys in the farm? When you're kind of looking through the system, like what stands out to you as like the top 30 list? Any guys that you're kind of looking into this year where it's like, I feel like this guy might be able to contribute, or, you know, I think this guy's going to kind of take a little bit of a jump. Like who's standing out to you right now? Because I feel like the general thought process on the Padres farm system is that it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though like, I think there's a couple really like exciting guys.
It's just top loaded. Like when you deplete a farm the way the Padres have, yeah, it's going to start off by not looking very good. You unloaded the number one or top five prospect at one point, Mackenzie Gore. Same thing with CJ Abrams. Robert Hassel was creeping up in the 30s or 40s. He fell down significantly. James Wood's going to creep up to the top 10 here soon, or if he's not there already, he's going to creep up for sure. Like Victor Acosta was probably going to creep up there in a few years. There's so many guys that we got rid of that were going to be good prospects, but none of them are guaranteed to be Juan Soto. None of them are guaranteed to be Yu Darvish, Blake Snell. These guys that we already, none of them are guaranteed to be that. And you'd be very fortunate if any of them become that. So granted, I doubt the Padres regret giving up any one of those guys because they got Juan Soto. They were able to build this type of team out of it. But in terms of itself, AJ is so good at being able to replenish the farm. Will it take a few more years? Yeah, it will. But in terms of guys that I think who, you know, might have to really contribute this year, I think Eggie Rosario is a guy that immediately comes to mind. ETA was supposed to be either last year or this year. So he's definitely a guy that you think, all right, we're going to need some production out of him. Kind of just in a depth infielder role, kind of in that spot that I'm going to say, What was his name? Sergio Alcantara? He was horrible in that spot. You just need to be better than him. And then I forgot who the other depth infielders were at one point. But you look at 2021, Ha-Seong Kim, even if the OPS didn't really show it, in terms of the defensive value he brought himself in 2021, filling in for Fernando when he was hurt, or Jake when he needed a day off, or Manny when he needed a day off, he was great in that role. We kind of need him to be like that. So hopefully Edgar Rosario is able to come up and be a valuable player. Another guy, I don't know if he's still considered a prospect. I don't think he is, but Reese Kinnear, is definitely a guy that everyone's probably going to be thinking, well, look, he might not be that good, but we also might just need him to throw a couple innings. But those are the only two guys, I think, in my opinion, that come to mind immediately in terms of, well, this team might need, yeah, definitely. This team might need one or two of our prospects to come up and be a valuable piece, because we're kind of pushed up against we're kind of pushed up against the luxury tax threshold right now. I think we're like 2 or 3 million away. So obviously we're going to be careful in that sense. We're probably going to try unloading some contracts. I think Drew Pomeranz, first guy to come to mind, you might want to unload. But those are two guys off the top of my head that will have to contribute. Other guys that stand out, somebody brought up Lizarraga. Samuel Savala is another guy that stands out. But those are guys that are a little further away from our window right now.
Yeah, so I like those guys that you bring up there. I would say if I'm looking at like immediate impact players, I think Agee's definitely the guy that pops up first. We've talked about Agee a lot, just that, like, you know, he has a lot of minor league at bats. He's knocking on the door. He's probably projected right now to come in and be your depth infielder. Like, I think that's what the Padres are hoping happens. I think the only other bat that I'm looking at, like, that could fill out a role, I'm seeing if I'm missing anyone. No, the only other bat that I think is an interesting option, and I think he's kind of a little bit more of a long shot, but could happen, is Corey Howe. Don't really know too much about him, but right now on MLB.com, he is ranked as our 9th prospect, but he has 70 grade speed, and he can basically play every position. His positions are listed as infield / outfield, so he is playing all over the place. Only problem is I think he's only played up into double A. So like he's a little bit more inexperienced. So that's why I think Agee's definitely a favorite of like any of the prospects to come in and have an impact. And then the other two guys that I think of that easily could are Jay Groom. And I guess you could say, I mean, I guess there's a couple others, but I would probably say Jay Groom. I feel like there's another pitcher. There's gotta be someone. Ray Kerb, I don't even know if I'd really consider him up. I guess, honestly, just Jay Groom. I'm trying to think of who else. Like, Isaac, who else would you think of besides him, like, yeah, pitching-wise?
It's mainly Jay Groom. I've seen people talk about Pedro Avila. There's, maybe you consider Brent Honeywell a prospect. But there's a decent amount of older guys with low prospect pedigree. Jay Groom has a decent amount of prospect pedigree. His just stuff isn't very good anymore, though. That's the problem. Michelle Baez. But there's other guys that you might expect to see some innings that, shoot, maybe on last year's team have no chance to see some innings. But considering the state of the pitching right now, yeah, there's going to be some pitchers that are in the minors, don't have a lot of experience, don't have a lot of prospect pedigree that we're going to need to go up there and throw some innings.
I'm looking into what Jay Groom throws right now. I don't know too much about him. So apparently his fastball is only like 89, 92. So pretty low fastball. His fastball is not like super special. But I think people like his slider, mid to high 80s, changeup, right? 80s, curveball 80s. But his grades are, he has a 55 curveball, changeup, 50 fastball. He's going to have to win a job in spring if he's going to be starting his career, starting his year in the MLB. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he's one of those like kind of guys that I don't know. So I feel like, I guess, honestly, like if we're being real, like it's basically Jay Groom's going to have a shot. Eggie's going to have a shot to make the roster and be a depth piece. And that's probably it. Yeah. But then after you talk about those guys, after you talk about, you know, like the media impact guys, I think one thing that really stands out about this farm is that if you look through it, all of the top end guys, all of the guys that are like, oh, this guy's a lot of potential. You know what you find in common is that they're all 17, 18, 19 years old. And that was what just happened a few years back. And so, I mean, I feel like there's some things that we think AJ Preller is good at, something he's not good at. If we're complaining about the prospects that AJ Preller brings in, like we're complaining about the wrong things. Like he brings in really, really talented players. Sometimes he gets traded and it's like, oh God, it looks like a horrible trade. But like for the most part, he's been able to replenish it and he's been able to consistently bring in talent into the organization. So like the thing is like a guy like Samuel Zavala, dude, he might turn into a stud. Like that's the thing. Jackson Merrill's still a teenager. Dylan Lesko's a teenager. You have Zavala. They draft the college arm in Adam Mazur. Victor Lizarraga. I don't know if you saw Isaac, but he actually followed us on Twitter. So shout out Victor
Lizarraga. I did see that. Yeah.
So I mean, he's only 19. He's already pitched serious baseball. Like I'm trying to find his numbers, but he pitched what almost 100 innings last year for the Storm, and he is 19. Like, he's already making a dent in it. So there's a lot of guys that are super young. Now, if we're being real with ourselves, like, a lot of these guys are going to get moved. That's just what happens. But there are some very exciting players, and I think it's a positive thing that when you look at the top end of the farm for where the Padres are at right now, everyone's a teenager. Everyone's raw. Everyone has – it feels like more potential to grow in terms of, like, what they can become as a prospect and what they can potentially come as a player than, like, a guy that's, like, kind of, like, maxed out. Like, he's knocking at the door. Because we see, like, guys climb throughout their – like, as prospects. Usually it's very rare that a guy's 16 and he's like, oh, yeah, he's, you know, top 20. Like, that doesn't really happen. Usually they're, like, have played a decent amount of minor league ball. So I think that's something that also really stands out.
Yeah, I think two guys that aren't I still consider them prospects, bro, but I guess they're not prospects anymore. Luis Campusano and Ryan Weathers are going to have to – they're going to have to make an impact somehow. Luis Campusano, you can't wait anymore. It's been too long. I know he's a catcher. I know it takes longer than other positions, but it's time. You brought him up in 2021 to catch some innings, and the average doesn't look good. The OPS doesn't look good from 2021, but you brought him up in 2020, I think, to DH once or twice. But in 2021, I thought he was hitting the crap out of the ball. I really did. Even if the ball was going straight at guys, I feel like the numbers don't show what I thought he was doing on the field. Then you got 2021. I think he hit one home run off Zach Gallen, but he didn't get much time either. I think he can hold his own. I do think he can hold his own. The past few years that I've seen his swing, I think he can do well against major league pitching, giving him enough at-bats. The biggest question has been, how would he be behind the plate? You know, what's going to be his rapport with these pitchers? It didn't seem like Blake Snell enjoyed being caught by him, but it was Joe Musgrove last year who stepped up and said, hey, like, let Camposano catch me. And I thought he did well with Luis Camposano behind the plate. So that's a guy that I think is going to have to step up in a big way in terms of helping Padres team this year. And then Ryan Weathers, the darling of the first half of 2021. And I don't know what to call him in terms of the back half of 2020, but it wasn't pretty, and understandably so. I don't think I've ever seen a guy look as depressed playing baseball as I saw. I mean, I thought he looked like he wanted to die. Poor guy. I did really feel bad. The 21-year-old being put in that position, I don't think he deserved to put in that position. I did feel bad. But 2022, he started one game, I think, against the Cubs, and first inning was pretty rocky. I think he only pitched four. He looked okay, but the problem is that he keeps getting rocked in AAA. He keeps getting rocked in AAA, and I don't know if I want to take those numbers with too much, you know, like, that's El Paso. You're going to get rocked in El Paso. I mean, quite frankly, no matter who you are, it's very easy to hit the ball there. So I think numbers are a little inflated there. But we need Ryan Weathers to make a major step, man. I mean, I don't think that can be emphasized enough. He has to take a big step. If he wants to be a starter, which he seems pretty adamant in being a starter, it doesn't seem like he really wants to be a reliever in the league. You got to make a major step, or else you're going to be a reliever out of it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that his start against the Cubs, I think it was the second inning, I want to say, was legitimately one of the worst innings I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was one of those innings that was really bad.
It was either off speed in the dirt or fastball up, low velo, right down the middle. Right down the middle every single time. It was bad. And it was just like they had like a couple plays, but like he was just allowing hit after hit after hit or walking guys. It was rough. So yeah, he has to, I mean, he's kind of playing for like he's basically playing for his Padre career at this point. Last year, in AAA, he had a 6.73 ERA, which, duh, I'll be honest, that's not even that terrible for El Paso, if we're being real. Like, some of these dudes that are in there are getting absolutely rocked. Obviously, that's not ideal. You want a guy to, you know, calm up. And then when you did calm up, he had, I think he allowed 5 and 4 innings, I want to say. Mm-hmm. He allowed 4 and 3 2/3. So he didn't get through 4. That's not ideal. But yeah, he's going to be 23 next year. He's kind of been in the majors a little bit. They're going to probably start giving up on him soon if he doesn't do something. You got to expect that, right? Same with Campy. You're already kind of feeling it with Campy.
Yeah, dude. It's felt like that for a little while now, I feel like. I mean, I don't know. I definitely think they're going to give up on him soon. And that's the thing with prospects, especially for us. It's like, they just don't work out. Like, you know, it's not really our thing. And what sucks is that you're going to need a few of them to work out. Like, we need Eggy to come up and be all right. Like, just a contributor. We don't need him to be a stud. I think we get lost in thinking like, oh, this guy's going to be a stud. This guy has the potential to be a stud. Like, when you trade for someone who's already a stud, I don't like hearing, oh, he has the potential to come to become a stud. This might come back to bite us. Dude, I don't care. Like, we're trying to win now. What's he going to become a stud in 5 years? I don't care. Like, we'll worry about that 5 years from now. There's probably another dude 5 years from now that's going to help us just like he can. But that's just the reality with some of the prospects, man, is that they just, most of them don't work out. I think I forgot what crazy stat it was, man. It was like, if you throw an inning or even four pitches in the MLB already, maybe I did. If you throw like four innings in the MLB, you've already done more than almost every other baseball player ever. So it's very rare for you to be a good, let alone come out of the minors. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the prospects, I was listening to the director. I just know his title was some sort of director. That's it. I don't know what else. It might have been director of player development. I think his name was like Riley Westman or something like that. I was listening to him on Ben and Woods, and he was saying like they treat the prospects very well. Like, the prospects love being Padres. I don't think he said anything about development in general, but he gets just as happy seeing the prospects get traded for someone like Yu Darvish or Blake or anything like that as he does seeing any of the prospects succeed. So, I don't know. I think AJ's doing a good job in terms of, I don't think any of those guys would have left if Juan Soto wasn't on the market. So we probably still would have had him. When one of those guys comes around, any of that stuff of, oh, he could potentially be a really good player, something like that, flies out the window.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, like, I feel like Chase is a little bit more of a prospect hugger than you. Not even that he really likes to, but, like, he's very adamant that he's like, dude, we got to start rebuilding this farm.
Yeah, I'm far, far, far from a prospect hugger.
Yeah. Also, see this comment from Gil right here. Lizarraga had two outstanding postseason starts. He and Duncan Snyder, 24 years old, signed from independent ball, balled out in the playoffs. Duncan is another 6'7" pitcher. Yeah, Lizarraga is intriguing. I think he's super intriguing, and he did pretty good for like a young player too. So, someone that's definitely worth watching. And I know Gil, you've been super high on him like for a while now. Like, you've always commented kind of little updates on guys in the minors, and he's a guy that's always like, oh, he's playing really well. Or at least all throughout last season, he was playing really well. So, definitely someone to monitor too, because that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, so many of these guys, like, we don't know where they're gonna kind of go. But it's so up and down with a lot of guys, so it's interesting. But yeah, I don't know, any other questions from the chat here? I feel like that's kind of all we got on the system right now. Before the season starts, we are definitely going to be doing our top 30 list. We've done it the last 2 years, pretty fun to do. We'll talk about like the most impactful guys, like we did a little bit today, but kind of give like a spring training kind of intro into all the guys that are going to be playing in spring and stuff like that. So we'll get into a little bit more when spring starts, just because like you can actually watch a lot of these guys. So it's pretty exciting, especially like I'd expect that like Merrill will be in spring ball. You know, I expect a lot of these guys that are higher up will actually play in spring. So it is fun there. But I don't know, any questions that you guys got? NFL weekend recap. Yeah, we can talk about NFL real quick. Obviously the Niners got it done. I know we'll probably have some Cowboys fans in the chat, but that was a fantastic showing by the defense. I didn't get to watch the Bills-Bengals game. Isaac, did you watch that game or no? I just know Josh Allen was kind of awful.
I'm
You're cutting out a little bit. Okay, I think Isaac's cutting out. But basically, I didn't really get to watch that game. Niners game, I thought it was great. I watched like recaps and stuff. Yeah, Demo, he played pretty good. He got burned a couple times, but I mean, he made a couple plays, had a big time pick. Niners offense didn't really look that good. I thought the Cowboys defense played phenomenal. Actually, I didn't think they're going to play that good, but they consistently held the Niners to field goals. Niners were putting up decent amount of yards, kind of driving on them. But I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a good game. I thought it was a little bit better than I expected. I thought the Niners were going to roll them a little bit, honestly. But Cowboys defense did good. Dak sucks. I think Dak's so overrated.
Yeah,
me and Isaac were even talking about it. I even like Dak, but it's just some of the takes, man. Some of the takes get me irritated.
Just because he's a Cowboy, boys are gonna get a ton of hype. Mainly because I mean, like, look, what's his name? Skip Bayless, Cowboys fan. Stephen A. Smith's hate for the Cowboys gets displayed a lot. Michael Irvin, former Cowboy. I mean, there's a bunch. Everyone that's on TV right now. Grew up era of Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, so there's a ton of Cowboys fans. So I think hype is because those are on TV. That's kind of like everyone goes off what they say. But I think kind of all the favorites won this week, right? All the favorites, the Chiefs won. I kind of expected all the favorites to win. I didn't think
the Bengals.
Yeah, I didn't. Oh, the Bengals. Yeah, I don't think they were favorites. I didn't think the Bengals were going to do that, to be honest. I mean, I thought they were going to win because the Bills had looked like crap for multiple weeks in a row. Josh Allen, I don't know why he's not getting as much hate as some of these other quarterbacks that have lost. I know a lot of people say he can't do it himself, but come on, he looked pretty bad. I thought he looked pretty bad. And I understand, like, yeah, he only has Diggs, but come on, I mean, something's got to give, bro. He deserves some criticism too. Let's see. What I don't really feel like there's too much to take away. All the favorites won. The Bengals again, bro. Like,
I mean, I think you're cutting out a little bit now. I would say the only other games that we didn't really get into, the Chiefs. Chiefs with Mahomes going down with the ankle, I thought it was kind of a pretty raw move. All right, Isaac's hopping out, but I think he's going to come back in a second here. But yeah, I think the Chiefs game was interesting. Mahomes goes down, kind of shows why, you know, he's the best in the league. And then with the Giants-Eagles game, dude, I was hoping that the Giants would, like, hang in and play well because, was it week 18? They played all their backups and they played decent. Earlier in the season, the Eagles killed them, but that game was brutal to watch. It wasn't even fun. It wasn't even enjoyable to sit down. It was over in like 5 minutes. That one sucked. But I feel like the Sunday's games were pretty good, even though the Bills did get kind of smacked. But it was a little bit surprising, I think. Like Isaac said that he picked the Bengals. I thought the Bills were going to win, but I also like wasn't going to be surprised if the Bengals win. But I don't know. All right, I got a question here. Oh, Niners specific. Matt, Brady or Purdy next year for the Niners? Dude, you gotta just go Purdy Lance and just let it play itself out. Your quarterback room be $10 million cap hit on the, like, that's all it is for two guys. That's ridiculous. So I think you just run it back with Purdy and Lance. You don't trade Lance, you just keep him as a backup. But that also could obviously change. Got a question for you, Isaac. Isaac, are you back? Oh yeah, you're back.
Yeah,
Isaac, I got a question for you. Who do you want for Chargers OC?
I think Joe Brady's a solid candidate. He didn't do very good in Carolina, but Rex coach for the Bills right now. I liked him coming out of LSU. I don't know how I feel about him now. The guy from the Rams, I forgot his name, Zach Rodlick. Like that. That guy knows Herbert's strengths. He knows Herbert's the kind of guy. He's like a vertical quarterback. He'd be solid. Actually, we could go after Frank Reich and like that. People didn't like Frank Reich when he was with the Chargers as the offensive coordinator, but people also don't remember that he's had his best years with Frank Reich. No. I don't know, man. The Chargers are a piss poor organization. There's a lot more than just the offensive coordinator that's fixing. I hope Herbert gets out. If as long as it's there, I hope Herbert goes somewhere else because he doesn't just like, I think of all the career wasted. Keenan Allen's about to be wasted. He's going to be done soon. Joey Bosa. Oh, I don't know how I feel about Joey Bosa, man. I think he's overrated. But he was also hurt this year, so I guess we'll see next year. Derwin's going to get his career wasted. Keenan's getting his career wasted. There's a bunch. Phillip got his career wasted. Gatesy, LT, all of them, bro. All of them. All of them. I'm telling you. As long as the Spanos are there, as long as Tommy – yeah, go to the Niners, bro. As long as Tommy T is there, as long as this is an organization that doesn't commit to – like, don't get me wrong. They put a lot of money into the players. They put a lot of money into the players. They're constantly pretty close to the damn salary cap. They're pretty close to it every year. They don't provide the resources to help those players. They don't provide them the necessary coaches, the necessary training, all this kind of stuff that you Niners. You just saw Anthony Lynn say, like, dude, the Niners are so much better than the Chargers in terms of the resources that are given to the coaches and stuff like that. And you heard the Bosa's mock about it too, something like that, bro. Like, it's night and day. So as long as the Chargers have these guys in the front office, they're not shit. And Herbert should leave. And quite frankly, anyone else that gets drafted should leave. A contract is up. But in terms of the offensive coordinator, two guys come to mind. Frank Reich comes to mind if he's willing to come back. I wouldn't be willing to come back if I was Frank Reich, but that's just me. Let's see. I don't know who else, man, but there's a lot.
Was Frank Reich on the Chargers staff before?
Frank Reich was an offensive coordinator for the Phillip had his best years under him, man. Phillip had his best years under him. But he got fired. Dude, there's always goes. Joe Lombardi deserves to be it, but Frank Reich did not deserve it. But yeah, there's a few guys that I think could fill in for that role. But yeah, I think he's probably gonna start tripping out again. Good thing Chase is here now, so he can fill in. So I'll talk to you guys later.
Hello, Isaac. So what Chase, were we talking about right now? I heard a little bit about Phillip and Chargers.
Yeah, we're talking about NFL playoffs. We're also talking about Solace. I want to get both your thoughts on one Solace, and also just divisional round. Either way, I want to hear both of them because we've already just been talking about that like basically the whole time.
So, from what I've seen of Solace, like his interviews and stuff, he seems like he could be the real deal. Like he's very mature. He's made all the right comments so far. He looks like he wants to be a part of the organization. He looks like he's basically a natural born leader, but from behind the plate, which is really incredible to see at his age. I think he's going to, well, it's confirmed that he's going to do what the Dominican Summer League this year. He's probably not going to play rookie ball in Arizona. I think he's going to go to the Dominican Summer League like they did with Samuel Savala and God, what's the other kid's name? The other right-handed outfielder that we signed along with Savala. See how he does there, and then maybe bring him out to rookie ball in AZ.
Montesino?
Yeah, Daniel Montesino. There we go. Yeah. I think that's what the route they're going to take. If he somehow blows their expectations, maybe you can see him in A-ball by the time he turns 17, 18-ish, but I don't think he's sniffing rookie ball right now. He's young. I think they're at least going to give him a year in the DSL, maybe then advance him there. But yeah, his interviews, if you hadn't heard him, he sounds like the real deal. I mean, I wouldn't have answered like that at 16. That's crazy. The divisional round, that was really happy. I think we played a little too conservatively with the run game early on. I think we should have let Purdy kind of throw it out there a little bit more, especially when McCaffrey just kept getting swallowed up, just because anytime they started to throw the ball, the run game started to come alive a little bit more. It opens up the play action a little bit. I mean, overall, defense played great. You got two picks, almost had three or four just tip passes or don't really have a lot to complain about. Kittle showed up. Defense showed up like crazy. I do want to see Purdy throw it a little bit more and him stop rolling out to the left and maybe throw to the right with his receivers. I mean, me and my dad were complaining about that every time. He's like, fuck, stop rolling out that way. Roll out the other way. You can't throw the ball on your left like that.
You know why that is, right?
Why is that?
Because he's got McFloppy at right tackle getting thrown around by DeMarcus Lawrence. And Trey Williams actually able to hold his own against Parsons, dude. That's why. I mean, that's honestly why I think. Because if he rolls out right, he's going to get drilled by whoever McGlinchey is blocking. McGlinchey, you know, he allowed half of the Niners' pressures. He allowed 5 out of their 10 pressures yesterday.
Yeah, I remember seeing in slow motion. I think it was when Parsons was lined up against McGlinchey. Parsons threw him with one arm. I was like, dude, you are that big of a guy. You cannot be a four. You cannot get tossed by a one arm of Micah Parsons. Come on, dude. I get Micah Parsons is special. Come on. You got tossed with one arm. Defense played great. I mean, that was a really good game. Honestly, was afraid that we wouldn't score for a while. I was like, fuck, this is going to be a field goal just galore. And if it's just field goals, I think we're going to win because Mar was – he had his first kick blocked, and you're just like, you know what? We can do this. If it's field goals, we got it. Yeah, it was a pretty solid game. Wanted to see Purdy throw it, though.
Yeah, also, and the Cowboys defense also played well. Like, they were getting a lot of pressure. I think that's a lot of reason why they stopped throwing it. I'm excited for the Eagles game, though. Eagles are legit. I've been saying that the Eagles have the best roster in the NFL since week 2 because they started to mesh a little bit, and you're like, oh, my God. They are super deep. They're crazy deep. Their linebacking core isn't that great, though. And that is probably the area that if you're playing the Niners, is probably the worst one that you can have for them to be able to exploit. So it's interesting. It's an interesting matchup. Defensively, the Eagles are, you know, they're a heavy run team. They run a lot of RPOs. I mean, they have, like, one of the best RPO setups you could have, having A.J. Brown running crossers through the middle and having – Miles Sanders and that nasty O-line with Jalen Hurts. Like, that is disgusting. But they're playing against the number one run defense by, like, a very wide gap in the Niners. So the Niners have some favorable matchups, but, like, the Eagles are – I think the Eagles are just as good of, if not better, roster than the 49ers are. So – and also their quarterback was, like, in the MVP race until he got hurt too. Like, that just shows how well they were playing as an offense. It's tough. What about the other games? Did you watch other games too or no?
I was watching the Bengals game, but that just – it didn't look like a real game in the first. I mean, Joe Shiesty came out there and did his thing, and Josh Allen was struggling. I mean, I was expecting a much closer game, and then it just ended up kind of being the Bengals running away with it. Bills starting to come back a little bit, and then the Bengals being like, yeah, you're still the little brother, basically. Let's just stop playing around. I'm actually very interested to see the Chiefs versus Bengals, because isn't Patty Mahomes 0-3 against Joe Burr?
Well, yeah, and he also has a high ankle sprain.
And the ankle sprain.
It's like pretty jacked up. He would probably miss a month typically.
That's
so.
I remember he's not able to move. One of the commenters was saying the same thing. They're like, "Yeah, I did the same." I think it was Tony Romo. Tony Romo was talking about it. He's like, "Yeah, you know, I did the same thing. I was able to go play the same day, the same, just because of all the adrenaline pumping. But tomorrow, he's probably not going to be able to walk on it. Like, realistically, a high ankle sprain, you're not going to be able to walk on it. You're going to be limping. It's a big blow for the Chiefs." But
the Chiefs kind of took care of business in their game, even though Mahomes got hurt. And then, but there's nothing to say about the Eagles Giants game. I got to shout out Juan's comments because I feel like Juan has it figured out. The only team that San Francisco does not match up well against is Kansas City. Yes. And the only team that gives Kansas City fits is Cincinnati, which is good for the Niners, which makes the Niners Eagle game that much more important. I think that's the biggest game left. Like that, I obviously not the biggest game, but I think that's the toughest matchup left for the Niners, though. Chase, I don't know. We've been on for a little bit, but anything else that you're thinking about? That was the only stuff we were really talking about today. Not really much going on. for the Padres.
Oh, no. Well, if you guys haven't seen it, I know Isaac shared the tweet with us. We might. I think it'd be a good idea to kind of quote tweet it and just to see how our fans do. Isaac found this one tweet that basically had a quiz of all the MLB postseason home runs. And for the love of God, I could not figure out how to spell Darno's last name. And it was a rough time. But I got 35 out of, I think it was 47. Isaac got 37 out of 7. So if you guys want to take it and just kind of be like, hey, we got more than you, be our guest. I think it would kind of be a fun little thing to do.
It's from it was the from life of right? I remember.
Huh?
It was from Talking Baseball, right?
I think. I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, we'll quote tweet after this, after we hop off. It was a cool thing because you could get – dude, it's hard to think of, like, the random guys that hit home runs.
Oh, dude.
Like, I'm not even in the lineup. Did you look over the list after?
Like, yeah, if you – when you – after the 15 minutes or you can press give up and it'll pop up all the names. And I remember looking at some of them, I'm like, I would have never gotten that guy. Like, just because some of them are like really obscure players that you're like, yeah, I know the roster, but I don't know the roster that well of that team.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, I think that's a cool thing. I'll quote tweet it after we hop off. Trying to think of anything else. Oh, World Baseball Classic. We're going to talk about that. I think we should definitely cover that later on. Obviously, it's not till – I have it right here. It doesn't start till March 8th. So we got like a month and a half.
Stacked. Like crazy stacked.
Yeah. I think we got it. I think we'll do some type of coverage for it. I don't know if we'll do like full-on videos and stuff, but maybe we'll just do like daily recaps and stuff of what went down, kind of show you guys home run clips and stuff like for like shorts and stuff. But dude, I'm pumped for it. I'm pumped. I might go, Chase. I was just telling Isaac that I might go to the finals actually, which I believe the finals can match up USA versus Dominican Republic. I think yeah, so. Like the way, because you'd have to do it like that, right? Because USA is Pool C. And...
let me look up the polls right now.
The only way it doesn't happen is if the U.S. and the DR don't win their pools. Here, I got it right here. I can show you the...
Oh, perfect. Do you see what Shohei said, though?
No, what'd he say?
So this is quoting Shohei. Trout said that Shohei said he's not the best player on the Japan roster.
He said that?
That's what Shohei said about the Japan roster. Oh, I have to look at Japan's roster. The only guy I could think of like being better than him is probably Roki Sasaki, and that's just because he's a phenom of a pitcher. I mean, we've talked about him a couple times on the show. Whenever he becomes available to MLB markets, you can expect some ridiculous deal to him because the kid is just a prodigy of pitching. It's crazy what he's done at his age. All right, but let's look at this. Chinese, Netherlands, Cuba, Italy, Panama. So either Cuba or Panama is going to win that. Japan, Korea, Australia. Japan should win that.
There's kind of like a heavy favorite in every every pool.
Pool D's a little.
Pool D's kind of stacked. That's some
pretty stacked talent.
So that's the only thing. So it would suck because I want to see a USA versus Dominican Republic final. That's what I want to see, right? If the US gets like winner and then somehow Dominican Republic gets runner up, then you'd see it like really early on. But like we got to see that. It seems like we kind of have to see that. I don't know. It's pretty exciting. Also, dude, some of these countries are going to get absolutely smoked. Like Britain? Are you kidding me? Italy? Yeah. They don't play baseball.
I don't know how Israel would do. I know there's a There was a guy from Palm Desert that went to go play for Israel in the last World Baseball Classic. If you didn't know that.
Really?
Pool D, dude. That could be.
I don't know.
Dominican Republic's probably going to be the winner, but the runner-up could be a toss-up between Puerto Rico and Venezuela. And then I think it's between Colombia and Mexico for runner-up for Pool C. Probably give Panama the runner-up. Yeah,
cricket is going to show up with cricket. That wait, Bogaerts is playing for Netherlands.
I think Panama. It's either Panama or Netherlands for runner-up for Pool A. Then probably Korea for Pool B.
Yeah. Wait, who do you think is going to be runner-up in? Who do you think is going to be runner-up in Pool C? Mexico.
I want to say Mexico, if not Colombia. But Canada could give both of them a run for their money just because they have some ball players from Canada. Like, Naylor's from Canada. Like, they have a couple of good guys from Canada.
Oh, so Canada's there too? Yeah, dude, USA team, the US team is stacked. The DR team is stacked. I got to see all the – I want to see all the rosters. I've been really looking at that. Oh, that's
cool. Venezuela so will Bogaerts. Be stacked.
Yeah, so apparently since Bogaerts is from Aruba, he's Dutch, so he's playing for Netherlands.
Oh,
and Profar. Profar's from Aruba too. So which I'm looking up which MLB players are from Aruba. Because maybe then Netherlands is pretty solid then. Oh dude.
Well
okay. You got some guys.
You there?
I know he's not that crazy, but Didi Gregorius is from.
So the way that it used to work, well, let me see. Oh, Profar's no longer on that.
Dude, Netherlands is stacked, bro.
Is it?
Aussie Albies.
I thought Netherlands.
Not. I mean, stacked in terms of like they have multiple MLB players, not like some of these teams that are getting rolled out.
Well, I think like as long as you have decent offense, but you still need like a couple starters.
Yeah, that's true.
Kenley's kind of washed. I don't know. Jared Rugans, Diego Marco.
Yeah, I mean, at least they have some bats though. That's gonna be clutch. I mean, like when you're playing Italy.
Simmons. You don't need a whole lot. Okay, they're not bad. Profar being listed as an infielder sort of surprises me. Oh, yo, Andrew Jones?
Yeah. But he's not playing, right? Is he?
Andrew Jones is listed.
How old is he? He's 45. Is he really going to play? That'd be sick if he did. I mean, he probably could, right? He was insane defensively, like even when he's older.
Yeah. He was born in Willemstad, Netherlands. It looks Mexico like he's on the roster.
A lot of former Padres.
Mexico probably.
Dude, I'm pumped for the World Baseball Classic. I don't know if I've ever really like. I've like watched games, but I don't think I've ever really like followed it. I'm definitely Jones following it this year. Jones is the coach? Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, that's what Juan said? Got you. Oh, is Junior playing?
I don't think Junior is playing. What's his name? Junior just got drafted.
But he can still play, right?
That I don't know. The eligibility of that is probably going to be weird.
Dude, that would be really cool if you had a bunch of prospects playing for like other places, like the high-end guys.
Well, that's what the Pan American Games used to be.
Yeah. Dude, I'm excited to see how Mexico plays. I'm seeing a lot of comments from Juan.
You are in Venezuela, huh? Gil said DR in Venezuela.
Who does Venezuela have that's super? Let's see.
Venezuela is probably, like, there's a lot of good ball players from Venezuela.
Shit, yeah, they could make it. Altuve, Pablo Lopez, Luis Arias. Oh. Acuña was gonna play, but he backed out.
Yep. Well, Mickey, he said it's up to the Braves medical staff.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I don't think this is as good of a team as the U.S. The U.S. team is stacked. But I could see it. Like, it could happen. You know, you could have an upset. Okay, I want to see Mexico's roster.
Oh, Alexi Amarista's play or on the roster. Holy shit.
For Mexico?
For Venezuela.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
If this is the current all roster, right, then yeah.
I'm trying to find Mexico's roster right now. Here we go. All right. Julio Urias, Jose Ocurdy. Oh, here we go. Gallegos, Munoz. They have some good bullpen arms now. Wait.
It's Roki.
Adrian Gonzalez?
Bro, Roki is playing for Japan. Oh, shit.
Wait.
Oh.
Adrian Gonzalez is playing in the world? No. Dude, why does it show him on the roster?
I think some of them are not showing the coaches because they list them out on. Yeah, some of them have, like, Andrew Jones on ESPN was listed as an outfielder, but he's the coach. So I don't know if he's the coach or if he's actually playing. But he was playing in, like, the little home run derby thing that the MLB had going worldwide.
Okay.
But Roki Sasaki is pitching for Japan. They got Darvish and Shohei, too.
Dude, Japan is going to be good. Damn. Japan is stacked. Dude, yeah, I'm pumped. This is going to be super fun.
They got Seiya, Lars Nootbaar from the MLB playing as outfielders.
So, let's see. First round is what? 8th to the 15th. And then 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st. So the next day is just one game a day. But 8th through the 15th, that will be super fun. So many different games. Does everyone just play everyone? It's got to be right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's Sasaki. He was one who threw a 20 strikeout perfect game, right?
No, he's the one that threw one per. I think he threw a perfect game, and then he was like an out away from throwing like two perfect games in a row. Like, he almost threw two perfect games in a row, dude. He's absolutely ridiculous. He will give MLB hitters fits.
So you think if he just goes out there and just absolutely shoves the whole World Baseball Classic, they're gonna be like, all right, here's a guy. Number one, he's gonna get like. He's going to, like, break the international signing record, right?
I would think so, dude.
Here's the
– Masataka Yoshida is okay. Playing.
Dude. Yeah, there's going to – dude. Yeah, Japan's stacked, too. There's honestly a lot of – there's a lot more countries that I thought that are, like, pretty, like – pretty solid groups of players. But yeah. All right, Chase, anything else you got, man? Now you got me excited about the World Baseball Classic.
Puerto Rico's going to be good too, dude.
Puerto Rico.
So far, what I see is Jose Berrios, Edwin Diaz, Seth Lugo, Marcus Stroman. Okay. Javier Baez, Correa, Lindor, and Kiki Hernandez.
That's pretty good.
Dominican Republic's going to go crazy.
Dominican Republic and U.S. are definitely favorites, but probably Japan, too, is kind of in there.
Dude, Japan has Low-key.
I don't think, I was just thinking this too. Kyle says, I think the Japan team will be better than the US because of the pitching. Dude, they easily could.
Darvish, kinda Sasaki, and Shohei is an absolute monstrous trio. I don't think there's a better trio in the baseball classic, not gonna lie.
That's ridiculous. Do you think they're gonna start full games, or you think they're gonna pitch like three innings or whatever?
They'll probably throw five, six innings.
But they only have four pitchers. Like, look at, they have to play like a bunch of games kind of in a row. Because there's how many breaks, you know what I mean?
Well, I still don't think the rosters are fully out there. Because when I went to the World Baseball Classic page, I believe, or the MLB.com for World Baseball Classic, they said that the rosters are going to be announced at a later date. So it doesn't look like everything's flushed out yet. But from what's been confirmed, it's a four-man rotation.
Yeah, it's like almost like rumors. Like rumors, not the official lineups. Yeah. All right, guys. Rotation, well,
but you have plenty of bullpen. I still think five, six innings. I mean, it's just kind of like playoff baseball.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think it's going to do it. We'll probably go live later this week. I don't know what we'll talk about. Maybe talk a little bit about like the Kim, you know, Kim trade rumors, stuff like that, Profar stuff. The thing is, we just talked about it a bunch, so. And apparently there's also a pitch count too, Chase. But yeah, guys. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Ethan Salas, huge upgrade. Farm is got a little beat up, but it's going to be up soon. It'll be up soon. So, all right. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great night, and we'll see y'all later.